morning. Our reading this morning is from 1 Samuel 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place.
All right, thank you, Heather. Good morning, everyone. Great to see you all here today. My name is Jacob Lang, and I'm one of the pastors at Lower Manhattan Community Church. And as we start, I just want to introduce you guys to some of my friends over here. I have a cheering section in row four, so here for the first time, I'd love for you guys to say hi to them afterward. And as Brian mentioned, we are in between series right now. So we just concluded a series on making sense of Easter, and next week we're starting a series on the meaning of church. So today we're kind of in a standalone week where I could talk about anything I want, and it's great because I can kind of look at the church and say, well, what does the church need, and what topic do I want to address today? But then the challenge is, you pick a topic that normally you could do over a course of several weeks, and you only get 1 week to do it. So I have a pretty good amount of content that I'm going to try to cover all of it today. So if it starts to get a little bit long, I'll look to you, Randy, just like signal to me if I need to cut it off. But today I want to talk to you about hearing the voice of God. And it's something that's been coming up quite a bit in our community groups and just talking with people. And my guess is that it's probably a topic that all of us have been curious about, have had questions about, maybe even a question that we've personally struggled with. I would bet almost all of us have friends or a pastor or someone from church who said before, "God really spoke to me about this." Maybe it's about a career, about a move, about a relationship, whatever it might be. They say, "God spoke to me." And of course, we think that's a good thing, and we know that it's good for them, it's great, but for us it might be a bad thing, because they say, well, God spoke, and we're kind of left wondering, well, why did God speak to him or to her, but not to me? Why is it that God speaks to some people sometimes, but in my personal life, I don't ever get to hear the voice of God? And when this happens, it can be really discouraging for us. We might think, well, what's wrong with me spiritually? Why isn't my Christianity working? We might be really discouraged, or we might go the other way and say, well, I guess God really doesn't speak. Or if he does speak, that's really the exception and not the rule. Well, I want to start today by saying that God does speak. God continues to speak to us, and the pastor and theologian A.W. Tozer says this: "God is speaking. Not God spoke, but God is speaking. He is, by his nature, continuously articulate. He fills the world with his speaking voice." So why is it that for many of us, we just don't hear the voice of God? Why is it that God speaking is not a normal part of our spiritual experience? And that's what I want to talk about today. So let's pray as we get started. Father God, we pray that you would speak to us. God, speak to us right now through the sermon, God, through the music. through your Spirit present with us. And even more than that, God, speak to us on a daily basis, God. We really desire to hear your voice, and Lord, we know that you do speak. So help us to understand your voice, God. Help us to figure out what we can do to open ourselves to it and to really hear you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I think there's several obstacles to hearing the voice of God. And I want to kind of take a backwards approach today and talk about some of the things that prevent us from hearing the voice of God, and then kind of addressing what we can do to fix that situation. So first of all, we might not hear the voice of God simply because we lack faith. So if you can pull out your inserts right now, the first scripture reading next to number one there from the book of Hebrews, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." So some of us are lacking faith. And I think there's two aspects of faith here. Number one is, first, we need to believe that God exists. And that's kind of a basic level of faith. It's a cognitive kind of faith, that we're acknowledging there is a God and God exists. But then I think on top of that, we also need to believe that God can speak and that God will speak. And I think for us, for those of us who are Christians already, that can be a real challenge. We might believe that God is real and that God exists, but do we really believe that God wants to speak into our lives? And if we don't believe that he speaks, we might even explain away the voice of God. Maybe we hear God speaking, but we attribute it to something else. Because we don't have the faith, we hear the voice, and we think, well, that can't be God. That has to be some kind of other voice. So we pay lip service to the voice of God. We say, yeah, God speaks, but personally, we don't really believe that it happens. We don't have faith that it's going to happen. And we don't have the real expectation that it's going to happen. I think for many of us, we have the hope, but we don't have the expectation. We hope that God is going to speak into our lives, but we don't actually expect for it to happen. We want it to, but we don't believe that it's going to. For some of us, our brains just can't really accept that God is speaking. In the psychological world, they call this cognitive dissonance. Your brain has two conflicting ideas at the same time, and we're very uncomfortable with that. And sometimes it blocks out things that we would otherwise perceive to be true. So I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard that when the explorers first came to the New World and their ships came up, the indigenous people actually couldn't see the ships. It was so outside their frame of reference. They'd never seen anything like this before that they actually just couldn't see it at all. Or maybe a more practical example is when you lose your apartment keys and you're looking everywhere for them, and finally you look the first place you looked on top of your dresser and they're there the whole time. Well, what happened was your brain was so sure that the keys weren't there that even though you looked right at it, you didn't see it. And I think that if we don't believe that God can speak to us, we can do the same thing. The voice is there, maybe we hear it, but our brain rejects it. We just don't have the faith that God is speaking. So what's the solution to that? Well, first of all, if you're not a believer, if you're new to Christianity, we need to start by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. That's the number one thing. If we want to experience God, if we want to please God, we have to have faith in Jesus Christ. But then for many of us, we need to move past just cognitive belief. We need to go from belief to a real trusting in God. So it's not just that God exists, but that God wants to interact with me, God wants to speak to me, God wants to be real in my life. So that's number one. Sometimes we just lack faith. Number two, and this one might be a little bit more uncomfortable, is that we might have unrepentant sin in our lives. The truth is that our sin can make it hard to hear the voice of God. If you look on next to number two on your insert, the third verse down under number two from Matthew chapter 5, it says, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. So this is even just giving a gift to God. The scripture is saying it's not right for us to come before God if there's unresolved sin in our life. Instead of giving that gift to God, leave it, go make the situation right, and then come back to God. I think the reason why is because sin creates a distance between us and God. When God doesn't want us to come to him when there's sin blocking our path. And we might say, well, why does this matter? What's the significance of it? And I think the reason is that God is holy and perfect. Sin, because it's the opposite of holy and perfect, creates separation. Those first two verses for number two, your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. And then from Isaiah, but your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. God is perfect and holy, and sin creates distance between us and God. I was kind of thinking about this as when we sin, we're stepping away from God. So God is speaking to us, and every time we sin, God is here, and it's as if we're taking a step further away and further away. Every time we sin, God becomes more distant. And God is speaking to us, but imagine trying to have a conversation when two people are on the other side of the room from each other. God doesn't want to have to shout to get our attention. God wants us to be next to him so we can actually have a conversation. So when we sin, we're creating that distance between us and God, and it makes it really hard to hear God's voice. And maybe we want to push back on this a little bit and say, well, isn't this kind of legalistic? Isn't this contrary to the idea of grace? And really, it's not, because God is not walking away from us. We're the ones who are walking away from God. And not only that, as soon as we want to restore the relationship, all we have to do is repent. God's grace covers over all our sins. So as soon as we make that decision, no matter what the distance is between us and God, we repent and we're right next to God again. This isn't legalistic. This is just our need to call on God, our need to repent of our sins. So what's the solution here for unrepentant sin? Well, repent of our sins. I think we need to make confession a regular part of our prayer life. Confession and repentance. If there's sin, ask God for forgiveness, and he'll do it. Instead of screaming across the room, God wants us to ask for forgiveness and be face-to-face with him again. So we lack faith, we have unrepentant sin, but sometimes we just aren't listening. Maybe we believe that God speaks, we're right there standing next to him, but we still aren't hearing anything. So we have the faith, there's no sin, but for some reason we just don't hear the voice of God. Well, I want to ask, are you actively listening? There's this great Old Testament story about the prophet Elijah, and it's here on number 3 on your inserts. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? So God's voice comes to Elijah as a whisper. Another translation says, a still, small voice. God's voice often comes to us as a whisper. And if we're not listening, it's really easy to miss it. I think we probably all are aware of the fact that there's a lot of noise in our lives right now. There's a lot of noise that is drowning out the voice of God. There's a lot of other voices that are competing for our attention. But if we're not actively listening, we're going to miss that still small voice. We might be too busy, too oblivious, too focused on ourselves, that we're not actively listening for that whisper. And I think that what's great about this story is that we all want the dramatic voice, right? We want God to show up in the wind and the smashing rocks and the earthquake and the fire. That's kind of how we expect God to show up. We want the dramatic voice. But God reveals himself in a whisper, in the still, small voice. If we don't want to miss that small, still voice, we need to be actively listening. So what do I mean by actively listening? Well, let me give an example that gets me into a lot of trouble. If we're not actively listening, it's kind of like when you're watching the game on TV and your spouse is trying to have a conversation with you. Probably many of us can relate to this. Football's on, or you know, you're watching the New York Jets get killed again, and your wife is trying to talk to you, and yes, honey, but you're staring at the screen the whole time. And she says, "You're not listening to me." And maybe you can even repeat what she just said. "I'm listening." You said, "What are we going to have for dinner tonight?" Well, you may have heard the words coming out of her mouth, but that's not a conversation. That's not actively listening, and that's definitely not going to make your wife happy to talk to you. I think that's kind of what we do with God. We're not actively listening. Maybe we might hear something, but our focus is so much on something else that we miss his voice speaking. I think that's why Jesus had this expression that he said over and over again. He said, "He who has ears, let him hear." And Jesus would usually say this before he said something really important. But it's kind of like an odd saying, right? "He who has ears, let him hear." Well, basically everyone has ears. So what exactly does that mean? And we see a little variation of these at the bottom of the front page here, cell number 3. It says, "Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear?" And then from Matthew, "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because you hear." Well, obviously we all have ears. So what was the point that Jesus is making? He's saying just because you have ears doesn't mean you're actually listening. You have the capacity to hear because you have ears, but you're not actively listening to what he's saying. Jesus is saying, "I gave you ears for a reason, so you can listen to my voice." But just because we have ears doesn't mean that we're automatically listening. God wants us to actively listen to what he's saying. I had a professor in seminary who used to say that every bush is burning. And of course he was referring to when God speaks to Moses through the burning bush. He's saying every bush is burning, meaning that if you just pay attention, there's signs all around us. God is trying to speak to us, but we're not paying attention. We're not using our ears to hear his voice. Have you ever noticed how some of us like bump into friends in New York all the time? It's like, "Oh, I saw so-and-so on the subway today," or "I saw such-and-such walking down Greenwich Street." And others of us never bump into anyone. We've lived here for 10 years. We've never bumped into a friend in the street. Well, the reason why is because one person's paying attention and the other is not, right? If we walk with our eyes up and we're looking and he's coming, we're probably going to see a friend. But if we choose not to pay attention to what's around us, we're not going to see those people. Just like we're not going to hear the voice of God if we're not listening for it. So what's the solution here? The solution is, number one, we need to make time to listen. We need to have time in our prayer where it's not just us speaking, but we stop and be still and listen. We need to make a space for God to speak. Also, we need to pay attention to what's around us. We need to be looking and listening for those signs because God really is trying to speak to us. Actively listen for the voice of God. At this point, I want to make just kind of a brief caveat, because there's kind of an obvious question that I haven't addressed yet. And that question is the voice of God audible? Like, what exactly is the voice of God? Do we hear it clearly, like someone speaking, or is it something different? And the answer to that question is well, yes and no. God's voice sometimes is as if someone is standing right next to us speaking a regular conversation. Other times, God speaks to us through kind of a stirring of our hearts. Sometimes God speaks to us through scripture, through an experience or an encounter. Sometimes God speaks to us through the people in our lives. Sometimes it's just through a thought or an inspiration or an inkling. I can't definitively tell you how God is going to speak to you because all of those are the voice of God. You might hear God's voice as if someone is speaking loud and clear to you, or you might hear God's voice just as a thought or an impression. God speaks how God wants to speak, and I can't tell you what that's going to sound like. But so if you're wondering, is God's voice audible? Well, yes, but sometimes it's not as audible as you think it's going to be, and sometimes it's more clear even when it's not audible. So that's kind of the caveat. All right, so now we're actively listening. We have the faith, we have the belief that God is real and God wants to speak. We've repented of any sin. We're actively listening. But how do we know if it's God's voice that we're hearing? How do we recognize the voice of God? If you look on the reverse side of your insert, next to number 4, this is from John chapter 10. I'm just going to read the first line. It says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." So this is Jesus speaking here. And Jesus saying, "I am the shepherd, you're the sheep, and my sheep know my voice." And I don't really understand that. It's kind of a weird, like, sheep farming metaphor that probably would have made sense back then. But I think what Jesus is saying is that over time, we become familiar with God's voice. When we hear it enough, when we're exposed to it, we start to become attuned to the voice of God and recognize it more readily. So instead of thinking about, like, sheep, which probably none of us have ever shepherded before, maybe we can think about, like, the sound of a crying baby. Like, I don't have kids. When I hear a baby cry, they all sound exactly the same to me. But for most of the parents in this room, you hear a cry or a scream, and you're like, oh, no, that's my kid. And for the rest of us, we don't know. We're just any kid. But you have such an intimate relationship with your kid that you can recognize their voice just by hearing them cry. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, my sheep, my followers, have that intimacy with me. They can recognize my voice because they've heard it before. They're focused on it. And even though it might sound like any other voice to any other person, because of that relationship, it's familiar. It's recognizable. So how do we learn to recognize the voice of God? One way we can do that is to rely on other people who have already heard the voice of God. People of more wisdom and more experience with us can walk us along the path to start to recognize the voice of God. That was kind of the essence of the scripture reading today that Heather read from 1 Samuel. So Samuel is this young boy who's just starting to serve God, and he actually audibly hears the voice of God. And most of us think, well, that's what I want. If I could just audibly hear the voice of God, I would know it beyond a reasonable doubt. I'd have no questions, and I would do whatever the voice is saying. But Samuel hears it and doesn't understand it. He thinks that it's someone else talking to him. But then he goes to Eli, who is the old, wise person. He's Gary. He's the Gary of the temple. So after hearing God's voice 3 times, and Samuel still did not understand it, finally Eli was the one who helped him to recognize what you're hearing is the voice of God. So when you hear it again, respond to it and know that it's God. Well, that's kind of the role that other people can play in our lives. We might be hearing a voice and saying, well, is that my own subconscious? Is that some other kind of influence? Or is that actually God speaking to me? Well, if there's a question, go to someone who's older, who's wiser, who's had experience with God's voice, and they can help you to recognize and discern if that is the voice of God. Another way that we can learn to recognize God's voice is through Scripture. So God spoke and the universe was created. God spoke throughout the Old Testament. God spoke in the New Testament. And we have that all written down for us. So we can start to recognize God's voice by becoming more familiar with Scripture. This is actually something I heard from Ryan's dad in the podcast from his church. He said that there's kind of like an 80-20 rule. So if we look to Scripture, we can know 80% of the answers to our life. If we just are familiar with Scripture, God makes it pretty clear what kind of husbands we're supposed to be, what kind of spouses we're supposed to be, what it means to be faithful to Him. About 80% of that's clear. And the other 20%, like, where am I supposed to live? Those are things that God has to speak more directly. Well, if we know that 80%, if we've studied the Scripture, know what God says to everyone, well, then it's easier for us to recognize the voice of God. We've already become familiar with it. We kind of know what it sounds like when God speaks. But if we're not familiar with Scripture, we hear a voice and we're not really sure. We have no basis of comparison. One thing that we know about God speaking is that God's voice doesn't contradict Scripture. So if you're not sure about whether it's God's voice or not, compare it to Scripture. If it conflicts with what we have in the Bible, it's not God's voice. If it doesn't violate anything in Scripture, and you've talked to other people and you know it's God's voice, well, there's no reason to doubt that. That's God speaking to you. But we have to recognize His voice. We have to become familiar with it. We have to be attuned to Him speaking. And until we start to recognize God's voice, it's hard for us to know if that's just our brain or if that's really God speaking. So what's the solution? Get familiar with God's voice. Pay attention to His voice. If God does speak to you, take note of what it was like, what it sounded like. And then talk to other people and study the Scriptures. That's how we become familiar with the voice of God. All right, so we're making good progress here. Faith, repentance, actively listening, recognizing the voice of God. But even with these kind of tools, it's not always easy, right? Sometimes we really lack the perspective that's needed. God might be speaking loud and clear right now, but it's hard for us to hear it because we don't always understand how the pieces of the puzzle fit together. So God might be speaking, but in the very moment, it might make no sense to us at all. Sometimes we really only understand God's voice when we're able to look at it in retrospect. I was reading a little bit today from a classic Christian text called The Confessions by St. Augustine. He was a church leader in the 4th century, and The Confessions are kind of his spiritual autobiography. And what's interesting about this book and why I bring it up is because he becomes a Christian later in life. He was born to a Christian mother and a pagan father, but he rejects Christianity. He studies law and rhetoric. He's interested in philosophy. He studies Manichaeism and is a womanizer and very, very worldly and sinful. But you read his autobiography, and literally from the moment of his birth, he says how God was working in every moment. But I'm thinking, well, he became a Christian when he was middle-aged. How can he say all these things about God working? Well, obviously, he didn't understand those in the moment. When he was 12, he didn't know that God was speaking to him. When he was 20, he didn't know that God was speaking to him. When he was 30, he didn't know that God was speaking to him. But when he finally comes to faith in God, well, everything becomes clear to him. Now all of a sudden he sees God was speaking to me in this, God was speaking to me in this, God was speaking to me in this. And I think that a lot of times that's how it works for us. Right now, because we don't have the perspective, we think God is not speaking at all. We don't hear the voice, we don't understand it. But I would bet for many of us, if we look back over the past 1 or 2 or 3 years, in retrospect we can say, well, God was speaking to me. God obviously told me to come to New York, and now that I'm doing it, I see for sure that was God's will and God speaking. So sometimes we don't have the perspective that we need to understand God's voice, even though it's loud and clear in our lives right now. If you look on your insert here, next to number 5, this is a classic verse from Romans chapter 8. It says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So even though we might not hear God's voice in this moment, God is actively working for our good. God's desire is to lead us down the path that's most beneficial to us. And we might not hear his voice right now, but I think later on we'll see how God was speaking to us. God was speaking to do what's good in our lives. That's his desire for us. So if we don't hear God right now, I think it would be helpful to just look back over the past few years and try to recognize where God has spoken to you. And then kind of the final point is that when we're talking about the voice of God, we really need to recognize that we just don't know. God is so big, so mysterious, so wonderful, that we really just don't know how God works. We don't get to set the terms for God speaking to us. And what I thought about for this was the story of Job. Probably some of us are familiar with it. Job was a faithful man, but then he loses everything. And he's wondering what is going on here. He's asking God these questions. His friends are trying to give him solutions to why it's happening. And for literally 40 chapters, it's just bad information coming his way and him saying, why isn't God saying anything? And then at the end of the book of Job, when God finally appears, his answer is, who do you think you are, Job? Who are you to even ask me these questions? Were you there when I laid the foundations of the earth? God is so much bigger than us that for us to think that we can dictate the terms of him speaking, it means that we don't understand who God is. If we think God can fit into a box or our kind of our own paradigms, well, as soon as God fits into that, he's going to smash it to pieces. Because if we can fit God into a box, it's not God at all. We don't fully understand how God speaks. God is going to speak how God wants, and it's not for us to determine how he's going to do that. We can't tell God how to speak to us. God speaks when he sees fit. So this maybe is a little bit of a departure from the trajectory of our message right now. But as Ryan said, we're about to start a new term of community groups. And they're so important to our church. We want everyone to be a part of them. And they really are a way that we can rely on other people to hear God's voice. So we invited Brian and Allison Vance to come up. And they're just going to briefly share a little bit about their experience in community groups and hit a little bit on how that helps them to hear the voice of God.
Morning, I'm Brian Vance. This is my wife, Allison. I'm part of the men's group on Monday night, is what I've been participating in for the last a little less than a year or so, and Allison's been participating in the women's group.
So I think one of the big things for me with community groups is that it's really easy for me to come to church on Sunday morning and hear the sermon and then not think about it throughout the rest of the week. And so community groups give me an opportunity to, once again, think about the sermon some more, discuss it in detail, and ask the questions that I had. But it also gives me another perspective. Oftentimes I hear a sermon one way or think about a certain thing very narrow-minded, and it helps me see it from a different perspective, hearing everyone else's interpretation of the scripture or even just what they're wrestling with it. I think the other thing that really is so true to me is that God really speaks to me through other people. And again, it's giving me that other perspective. Sometimes I get boggled down and I'm wrestling with something and I can't figure it out. And someone just gives me a new perspective on it and I'm like, wow, that was amazing. I hadn't thought about it that way. And I'm always blown away in community groups when that happens to me. And it feels as though I give very little to a community group, but always get so much back from the people around me and from God speaking to me. And then I think the last thing is that living here in New York City in the hustle bustle of life, it's nice to have a group of friends that I feel like I can trust and really value their perspective on life. It helps keep me really grounded in what I know is important and what I strive for in my life.
So for the longest time, I think I naively thought that when God wanted to speak to me, I would go about my life and he would speak to me. You know, I would come home one day and Allison say, "What did, you know, how was your day?" And I said, "It turns out God spoke to me today," right? For me, that's not how it works. It turns out that I have to make active decisions to actually put myself in places, and I would My experience has been that's true of most people. So community groups, for me, has been one of those ways that I can actively make a choice to be in a place that God can speak to me. You know, as we've been talking about, Allison said, you know, I think God's created us to be relational people, and he's created us to be in community. And I strongly believe that God does speak through other people. And so community groups, again, are that place where there's other people who have insight into my life because it's a place that I can share it and kind of get something back there. And then, again, echoing Allison, there's a perspective that comes from the group and hearing other people wrestle through things that allows me to kind of wrestle further and deeper, giving me perspective that I normally wouldn't have if I, you know, listening to the exact same sermon, coming away with something, you know, very different. So I'm able to share my life. I'm able to hear other people's lives, and I found consistently that by making that choice, that active choice to be there and to participate, God ultimately is changing and stretching me. And so that's why, you know, I actively and enjoy community groups, and I'd encourage everyone else to participate. We'd love to have you.
Great. Thank you, guys. Yeah, clap. Why not? Clap. I heard like a single clap over here. There's a moment of indecision. Do we clap or not? All right, well, thank you, Brian and Allison. In conclusion, how do we hear the voice of God? We believe that God is real, and we expect that he's going to speak. We repent of our sins before Christ. We actively listen for the voice of God, and we become familiar with his voice. And we do that through Scripture, and we do that through other people in our lives. But we can't force God to speak. God's going to speak to us on his own terms, whenever and however God sees fit. But God does speak. God has always been speaking, and God is going to continue to speak. Don't lose heart if you don't hear from God right now. Our final verse for the day, next to number 6 from the book of Hebrews. But God said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. God is never going to leave us. And God is here right now, and God is speaking to us. Listen for the voice of God, because God is speaking. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you're a God who speaks into our lives. God, thank you that this is mysterious to us, God. Even though we wish that it was clear as day, and we wish that we could just call you up on a telephone, Lord, we do thank you that the process of hearing your voice is mysterious, God, and wonderful. Lord, I pray that we would open ourselves to you, that we would really have an ear to listen to your voice. God, I pray that we would help each other to hear it. Lord, I pray that your scripture would reveal it to us. But Lord, I pray that not just as individuals, but as a church, we would really hear your voice, God, that we'd hear it and we would respond faithfully. God, thank you for your activity in our lives, God. Thank you that you're speaking. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to...